Lord, you are worthy of all honor and glory and praise. Please help us to hear your words for us today. May they be your words for your people. Amen. So, good morning again. I hope you are all having a good Sunday. I'm glad you all enjoyed my kids' video. That was a recurring segment in a PBS show, and he would always end up hanging off a cliff at the end of every single one. So you may have noticed, too, that this is kind of an odd, we're doing the Easter text again. If you followed the devotional, we did, Reuben read the poem from Easter Sunday. This is the final kind of tie-up sermon on our wilderness series, which is for Easter Sunday. I felt odd doing it with MDV because they have not done all of the series before on the wilderness, and it was just going to be so much background that I thought, we can expand it one more Sunday. Wilderness and Easter, we don't have to go there quite yet, Janet. Wilderness and Easter are not a thing that is over just because we've hit Easter Sunday. So we're going to do a little bit of review, though, since this is our, I have been some teacher training, so this is our, you know, wrap-up lesson on the wilderness. So that biblical wilderness, right, this is not our escape to nature and meditate in the peace. This is not, I am going on a silent retreat that so many of us think when we think about nature or think about wilderness. The biblical wilderness is much more wild and chaotic and dangerous than a retreat into the woods. It's the camping in the rain for 6 days and all my socks are wet and I hate everyone and nobody talk to me kind of wilderness. It's the doing your very best to just make it through the day. It's work to spend time here. It strips you down to your core. You don't have anything left. There's nothing extra. You can't perform. You can't keep it all together. It's just, this is who I am now out here. Surviving in the wilderness is painful and draining, and you would really rather be anywhere else. You're exactly as you are, and you have to admit to yourself, this is all you got. The wilderness is a hard and scary and vulnerable and uncomfortable place to be. It is not the pictures on Instagram. This is a hard spot. And over the past few weeks, we have talked about a lot of different parts of the wilderness experience. The first is that the wilderness is full of beginnings. We use the description of the fall in Genesis as our text for this, and Jesus' temptations. Often we find ourselves in the wilderness when we find ourselves in a new season. Something has ended, and we don't know what to do next, or how to function, or how to go on. Usually something hard is beginning, not always, but something has ended, and we are thrust out with this change into the wilderness. The wilderness is a place of paradox. We looked at Nicodemus and Jacob wrestling with God to realize that sometimes what we know and what we see don't match. And if we are thoughtful enough to notice they don't match, that can sometimes push us out into wrestling, trying to figure out where that truth about God matches with what I see in the world. And trying to get them to fit together to work can send us out into the wilderness. And there we will find a God who will fight it out with us, who is not afraid of our questions, that will, this difficult work of wrestling paradoxes and putting the pieces together in a way we never imagined. This is a time-honored tradition of the wilderness. It is not easy, but it is classic. One of those things that we wrestle with in the wilderness is a shifting foundation for how we understand our lives. The wilderness is full of shifting sands. We can start to notice that the truths we built our lives on, the facts that sustain us, the identity of how we see ourselves, are not quite as solid as we originally thought. The blind man did not stay blind, and his identity was going to need to change to that new reality. What had been his foundation was no longer solid. This work of shifting through who we really are, what is really worth building our lives on, and what is not as solid as we had once hoped, is part of the wilderness journey. We discussed the reality that the wilderness is a place of isolation and of connection. It's so much work to live and to wrestle and to work out in the wilderness that we have to be exactly who we are. There's no room for pretenses or performance or best foot forwards anymore. But looking at the woman at the well and at Hagar in the wilderness, who were at the end of their ropes, we're reminded that we are still seen by God in these places, in all of our messy brokenness, and that when we come to God with like, yeah, I don't know. God's like, I already knew that and I love you. And connected to this idea, the wilderness is a place of humbling. This was our Monday Thursday text. Time in the wilderness necessitates needing help, needing God, needing each other, realizing that we cannot do it alone. And this is one of the most embarrassing and difficult parts for some of us in the wilderness, especially if we're really wanting to be self-sufficient and we grew up in a culture that really admires this. The wilderness reminds us we can't hide and do it ourselves anymore. And paradoxically, this humbling is where we find true connection in life. The wilderness brings life and death. Looking at the story of Lazarus and his sisters, we talked about how not fun the experience of being pruned, of fighting in the wilderness, of having your worldview changed, of being stripped down, parts of your life dying. It's not a fun thing. And it's not an everything happens for a reason kind of thing either. But there will be something new that grows out. Life comes out of those pruning, dark, hard moments. Because we have been there, life will come. And finally, being in the wilderness involves making choices. This was David and Goliath and Jesus himself on Palm Sunday. Eventually, you are asked in the wilderness, are you going to stay here longer? Or are you ready to make a choice to be brave? Are you going to step out, try something new, or are you planted next to this campfire in the wilderness for a little bit longer? And today, our final wilderness topic, the wilderness is not the end of the story. Almost circles back, the wilderness is a place of beginnings, but not quite. The wilderness is not the end of the story. We are not stuck here indefinitely. There is something beyond this time of fear and grief and hardship and struggle. The wilderness of Holy Week, when everything comes crashing down, does not end the story. And this is important because when we're in a wilderness moment, it tends to feel like it will never end. The hours and the days just keep stretching on and on and on. You're laying in bed at night, and like the dark nights of the soul, right? And it just seems like we'll be stuck in this pain, this grief, in this frustration, in this isolation, in this fight with God forever. That we will always be reliant on others. That we will never be able to stand and experience joy and life again. But the reality is that even when we can't feel it, the wilderness season does eventually come to an end. We are not left dangling off that cliff forever. So last week on Monday, I decided to go on a hike. It was so beautiful, and I had my day off, and I was like, I cannot just sit in my apartment all day. I'm going to go on a hike. But I don't know. You all have recommended things, and then they flew right out my ear. I didn't know where to go. So I just kind of Googled hikes around, and I was like, Mount Pisgah, is that how we say it? I was like, okay, that one's close. It's not, there's loops. It's a beautiful day. It's not too far. Let's do it. I'm not a fast hiker. I'm not a technical hiker, but nothing said that was necessary for this hike. And I was like, Pippin and I, that's my dog, we can do this. We got this. And we did it. We did it, but it was not what I was expecting because I decided to do the summit, and some of you guys are going to laugh at me. I've never been in a Pacific Northwest hike with less shade in my life. So here's a picture of on the way up, right? You can't tell that it's steep in that picture, but it was like mid-afternoon on Monday where it was like 80 degrees. There's no shade. I'm like, what is this? What? Pippin's looking at me like, what the heck? I'm a couch dog. I don't know what we are doing here. And like it was pretty steep for me. Like other people, I did not pass anybody, right? Like I'm just like trudging along and it kind of felt like we were going to be on this hill forever. And like my phone told me it'd been like 15 minutes and I was like, we're never getting out of here. Oh my gosh. We get to the summit. We drink a lot of water. I try to find shade for Pippin. We don't really succeed in that. And we start back down. And I have done East Coast trails are more like this, where you kind of follow the map and the trail markers. I've done a few of them. And I'm like, this loop makes sense. And then I did it, and it did make sense. But apparently, like, nobody goes on that loop because it was like a horse trail, and I didn't know that. And so I was like, there's nobody here. And I'm like, is this the right turn? Is this the right one? And I wasn't lost. I'm like, well, that's the farm, right? Like, there's electrical cords all around here. Like, I'm not lost. Worst, I'm just going to go straight down this hill and then hitchhike to the car, I guess. But, like, I just kind of felt like it was going to go on forever. Like, I'm never going to make it back to this parking lot. I'm just going to be here forever. And Pippin's like, why aren't we back yet? And I'm like, I don't know. And I'm like, we made it. It was fine. I wasn't in any danger. It was a few miles longer than I thought it was going to be. I'm being melodramatic. And it was beautiful. And my brain kept going, like, why didn't I go to Florence? Why didn't I go watch the waves and sit on the beach? Why did I do this? And I assume I'm not alone in this feeling of this is lasting forever. It may not have been a hike. It may not be that physical activity like it is for me. Maybe my sister's was, we were flying an international flight, and we were about 10 hours. It was a 10-hour flight. We were about 6 hours in, and she's like, I have got to get off this plane. And I was like, well, sucks to suck. Like, the only way out is through. You don't have a parachute. Or maybe you're in one of those, like, classes or lectures, and you're just like, if this teacher is never going to stop talking, I'm going to be in this room. Or a meeting. They do that, too. I'm going to be in this meeting till I die. I am never getting out of here. Right? We have those moments. And we know logically they're going to end, but they don't feel that way. And then we have our life ones, right? I'm never going to get a job again. I'm never going to get a job again. I will never reconnect with that loved one. This relationship will always be strained. I will always feel like I do right now. There is no possible way this can end. I imagine everyone has felt that in some sense. A never-ending moment. Those are wilderness moments. And one of those never-ending wilderness moments. And it can feel like there is no way to make it to the other side. That I will be here forever. There's nothing on the other side. This is just it indefinitely. I will walk this road forever, and I will never make any progress, and I will never get out of here. I will be trudging up this hill, or I'll be sitting in our grief, or stuck in financial stress, or health insecurity forever. But the wilderness always ends eventually. You will make it through to the other side. It may take a very long time, but we will eventually make it out. The wilderness is not the end of the story. Our Old Testament text today, full of names, is from Deuteronomy and is about the Exodus, the wilderness wanderings. We don't have the text up right yet. This is the wilderness story, right? This is literally called the wilderness wanderings, where they wander around in the desert for 40 years. We've been talking in confirmation about this. They've been struggling in the wilderness to redefine themselves, to create a foundation, not even one that existed before. They've had to learn how to live in a barren desert. They had to figure out how to worship God in a place that wasn't tied to location. They had to define themselves as something more than slaves, and it took a whole generation to do this. But even they did not stay there forever. Even that story comes to an end. So this is the very beginning of the book of Deuteronomy, where God tells Moses to tell the people, it's time, the wilderness is over, and the next chapter has begun. This is verse 6 and 7 and 8. The Lord our God said to us at Horeb, you have stayed long enough at this mountain. Break camp and advance into the hill country of the Amorites. Go to all the neighboring peoples of the Arabah, in the mountains, in the western foothills, in the Negev, and along the coast, to the land of the Canaanites and to Lebanon, as far as the great river, the Euphrates. See, I have given you this land. Go and take possession of the land the Lord swore he would give to your fathers. Let's translate this. You have spent enough time here, wandering, wrestling with your identity and understanding of yourself and of me. You have learned how to rely on me, how to live with each other. You cannot stay here forever. It is time to move to the next stage. It is time to leave the wilderness and enter into what comes next. The Israelites are experiencing a long, slow process of leaving the wilderness. They were not immediately done with the wrestle, with the rebuilding of their foundation. It took decades. But eventually, they gathered themselves and solidified all this new information enough to come out who they were, who God is, how to live together. Eventually, they come to grips with these changes and are ready to start the next chapter and to exit the wilderness. Now, this is not to say that this is going to be easy. Entering the land is a whole process. The whole book of Joshua is kind of messy. It also doesn't mean that people are supposed to forget or ignore what happened in the wilderness. In fact, a lot of Deuteronomy is actually rehearsing it for them. Remember this. Remember this. Remember what we learned. Remember what we experienced. Remember what we practiced. Don't forget. Put up the rocks. Do whatever you need to do. But the Exodus vulnerability in wilderness is not going to last forever. After the fight, the wrestle, the vulnerability, the new foundation, the settling into a new understanding of themselves, of God, of the world, then we get to leave the wilderness and return to life, where things are a little easier, where we get to create and thrive and not just survive. Sometimes leaving the wilderness takes a long time, 40 years for the Israelites, a whole generation. There's no timeline for us for when and how to get over grief or pain or a fight with God. When to stop wrestling and accept a paradox. There's no timeline for this. When to allow ourselves to be loved and seen and heard by God and by those around us. But if we don't ignore it, that moment will come eventually. We'll find ourselves having more good days than bad, slowly realizing that the difficulty has been left behind. We learn from it, we remember it, but we don't have to live there the same way. This is the most common leaving of the wilderness, over time, slowly, with reflection and backsteps, and with choices to be brave over and over again, with questions and grace. But it does sometimes happen fast. Sometimes there's that epiphany moment and everything shifts, and that's, I think, what Mary experienced in our gospel text with Easter Sunday. That's the account from the Gospels. It's actually the same account we read last Sunday. But we're not focusing on the fact that Mary didn't recognize Jesus this time. We're not looking for unexpected Jesus in unexpected places. Instead, we're going to look at the reality that Holy Week does not end in the darkness of Good Friday or the hopelessness of Holy Saturday. Those are not the ends of the story. But to do that, we have to remember and reflect on how difficult and scary Holy Week was. I think not only for Jesus, but for his friends. I think it's almost impossible for us to truly understand how shaken the disciples' foundations would have been, because we know how the story ends, and that was not our identity that got thrown out the window. For after all, the disciples believed that Jesus was the Messiah and will rescue us from evil and rule as king, and that Jesus can do miracles, so he will not fall to the plots of the enemies around. He can rescue himself. And God will keep them safe too. After all, we're followers of Jesus. We will be safe. And I imagine that all of those foundational truths were upended in about 30 minutes for the disciples. Jesus was not rescued from evil. He said he was Messiah and he died under occupation. Jesus did not save himself or his disciples. Peter was afraid for his life, and that's why he denied Christ. And if Jesus dies, who will keep me safe? God said he was? Who does the disciples thought they were, who they thought Jesus was, how they understood God, none of that matched with their experiences of Holy Week. They were stuck in the paradox of what they knew versus what they saw, and it sent them into the wilderness. And even more than that, they were grieving the loss of a dear friend, someone they looked up to, someone they modeled their lives on, and then someone who was killed and tortured. This grief too would have sent you into the wilderness, let alone both together. I always wonder what Holy Saturday would have felt like. That sudden silence and abrupt change in your life. Nothing was the same as it was a week before. I imagine that they were numb or angry or terrified or in deep grief. They were in that moment where it feels like it's just going to go on forever. How can there be anything past this? How could I ever go on? What could possibly be here? I will be here forever. And then Sunday morning, early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw the stone had been removed from the entrance. Further investigation leads to this shocking conclusion that Jesus' body is no longer there. Now, we know what happened, but remember, they don't. They don't know what has just happened. To them, this probably felt like just another horror added on to an incredibly bad week. Just another aspect of never-ending wilderness period. We can't even mourn him, right? We can't even fall back on cultural practices of how we're supposed to do things anymore. Why is this so hard? The story doesn't end there. This deep darkness and stability of the wilderness is not the end. Mary encounters Jesus. She is in the wilderness. She is too distraught, too emotional to fall back on logic. They kind of reference that maybe John figured it out. Mary does not bother trying to figure it out. She's just in that moment. She's not looking for pat answers. She's not trying to logic her way out. She's not allowing comfort that does not address her pain. She is grieving and she is wrestling and she is alone in the wilderness. And Jesus finds her there. In the midst of her grief and her loneliness, Jesus reaches out and calls her by name. Jesus said to her, Mary. And she turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, Rabboni, which means teacher. On Easter, we talked about how Mary knew Jesus well enough that when he called her name, she recognized him. But I don't think that is all that happened. I think this moment of her looking at the gardener and then realizing that it was actually Jesus with her is a new moment in her foundation. This is the new truth I will cling to. This terrible thing I have experienced, they are not the end of the story. There is something new and good and whole here that horrors that have sent me into the wilderness do not have the last word. Mary may have been able to reach this insight eventually, but she was pulled out of the grief in the wilderness in an instant because Jesus called her name. Mary recognized him and allowed her understanding of the world to shift entirely. And we know this because Mary went from grieving alone in the garden to running to the disciples and saying, I have seen the Lord. And she told them what he had said, that he had said these things to her. The same is true for us. Eventually, we will make it out of the wilderness. Maybe like the Israelites, we will have spent enough time out in the wilderness, enough time grieving, waiting, wrestling, being vulnerable, that we will have solidified our foundation and our worldview again enough to re-enter the rest of our lives. Or maybe like Mary, we are thrust out into the wilderness, out of the wilderness, by a truth revealed to us by God. Something that is so astounding, so moving, so beautiful, that it reframes everything that happened before. I have seen the Lord. This changes everything. Either way, notice the wilderness does not last forever. This is the truth to cling to when you are in the wilderness. Jesus will call us through to the other side, whether over decades or an instant. The wilderness is not the end of the story. But the wilderness experience will leave us scarred. We are changed by these lonely days or weeks or months or years in the wilderness. Even after resurrection, Jesus had scars. The truth revealed through the resurrection does not take away the pain of the death, the betrayal, the loneliness, and despair. The Israelites entering the promised land did not erase 40 years of wandering, of boredom, of aching muscles, of choices to worship golden calves and not God. But the story, it is also not the end of the story. The scars carry over and the story continues. What Jesus and his disciples experienced during Holy Week, it was defining. It would come to be part of their story for the rest of their lives. They would carry this hardship forever, but the story was not stuck there. There was more life, more joy, more tasks, more everything on the other side. The same is true for us here. We will make it out of the wilderness. We are not here forever. It may be a long time, but not forever. I think it is telling that for both stories, it is God's voice that eventually calls us out. The Israelites spent years learning to listen, sometimes badly. They wrestled and they fought and they whined and they grieved and they lived out in the wilderness. And eventually God tells them, okay, we've made it, we can move on. You've got this. And Mary too hears God's voice and realizes there is infinitely more happening than all she could ask or imagine. The wilderness, the death of Jesus, does not end the story. And our grief, losses, and hopelessness, changes in our understanding, wrestling with God, they too are seasons that do not last forever. They too are not the end of your story. I encourage you today, if and when you find yourself in the wilderness moment, to remember that this will not last forever. Jesus will lead you through to the other side. There is no timeline, no steps, no quick fixes. But one of the good news facts about Easter Sunday is that no matter how dark or scary the wilderness feels, it is not the end of the story. There is something more for you on the other side. Let us pray. Holy God, thank you that you do not leave us abandoned. You do not leave us hanging or leave us in the cliff, but that you have brought us, you will bring us through the wilderness, like you brought the Israelites, like you brought Mary, like you will bring us. Allow us to rest on that truth. In your name we pray. Amen.